The following program is intended as an educational program, not as investment advice or as a recommendation to buy, sell, or participate in any investment vehicle, product, offering, or strategy. Investment advisory services are offered through Turning Point Financial, a registered investment advisor. Any references to specific securities, investment vehicles, or strategies are intended only as examples, not as recommendations. All investments involve risk, including the possibility of losing money. What if your financial goals and your deepest convictions were perfectly in sync? Well, welcome to episode 106.
That's right. We're getting up there.
Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about incorporating biblical wisdom and principles into your wealth management and your financial planning. I'm James Good.
And I'm Eric Terrio. You know, we're surrounded by so-called financial advice every day. But how much of it actually helps you become who God wants you to be? Today, we're bridging the gap between your bank account and your heart's calling.
And every week, then we take a look at some financial headlines with clarity and focus. We talk about what they mean, right? But that is just the beginning. And we'll see if we can stump you with our weekly trivia a bit later in the show. And then we'll spend the rest of our time diving deep into the principles and practical strategies that help you manage your wealth with a clear conscience and a kingdom focus.
That's right. But first, I see we have a few stories here, James. Where would you like to start in our week in review?
Let's talk about the K-shaped economy.
K-shaped economy.
I think we talked about that once before.
Yeah, but I forget, and so do other people. So what's that again?
So a K-shaped economy is where there's some pieces of the economy that are doing really, really well, and then there's other pieces of the same economy that are just horrible.
Right? So some sectors are doing good and on fire, and other sectors are just kind of down in the dumps right now.
Yeah.
And so, why, you know?
Well, for example, so like wealthy people, right, are benefiting from stock market gains and higher wage growth, which is driving an outsized share of consumer spending in that segment, right? There's one statistic I read recently here that said the top 10% of American people own 88% of equities.
Oh, wow.
The stock market.
And I wonder if they're accounting for, like, large institutions, like BlackRock. And
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then it went on to say that 40% of Americans own 12%. So 88 and 12, that's 100%. So the bottom 50% of Americans have debt. Mm-hmm. So you have the K-shaped economy, right? That top...
It's like a K-shaped demographic.
Yeah. That top segment is up and headed up, and the bottom segment is
down, headed down.
That's right, and really struggling.
And that's not good, because the strength of most countries is to have a very vibrant and strong middle class.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And so that's... But the K-shaped economy is here. It's alive and well, and there was an article I read here in, I believe it was NBC, that talked about what Walmart and Ralph Lauren just revealed about the American consumer.
We have K-shaped consumers.
Yeah, we have K-shaped. So, I pulled the earnings call that Ralph Lauren had last week, right? We're recording this on June the 2nd. So this would have been the earnings call they had at the tail end of May. And Ralph Lauren is a global leader in the design, marketing, and distribution of luxury lifestyle products. And today reported earnings per share of $2.45 a share. And but they had a big increase. Global, they said, direct-to-consumer comparable store sales increased 17% in the fourth quarter.
And what's that mean?
That means that wealthy people are able to pay full price, so much so that Ralph Lauren's sales increased by 17% in the fourth quarter. Now,
so their cars are nice, their clothes are nice.
That's right.
But more folks shopping at Walmart? What's going on with the Walmart story?
That's right. So people on the lower end of the K are finding their paychecks can't keep up with the rising cost of food, housing, utilities, childcare, and even wage growth. Right. Now, when you look at the stock market, it kind of
tells a different story, or
what? Well, no, it kind of reflects that same thing. Year to date in 2026, consumer staple stocks are actually flat and down. Consumer staples. Well, of course, that's where people spend money. Consumer staples, consumer stocks in general can be divided into two general categories. That's consumer staples, things that people really need.
And like recession-proof.
Yeah.
Things you need, they're kind of recession-proof. That, yeah. Like alcohol and stuff.
But when you look at some of those stocks that are, you know, have always been recession-proof.
Or resistant, at least.
You look and see, well, they're really not doing that well. And so it makes you wonder, you know, exactly what's changing out there. But so you have consumer staples and then consumer discretionary. And you would kind of expect that discretionary stocks might struggle a little bit if people are having a hard time spending, you know, affording to buy those products. But consumer stocks in general are just struggling in 2026, while technology and like artificial intelligence, I mean, these stocks are up. So there you have the K, right? And it's interesting to see the stocks that are down are the ones that are related to consumer spending. And there you have it, right? With the bottom half just struggling to keep up with the cost of inflation, the rising cost of food, housing, and so on and so forth. So
folks are even buying less gas these days.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Because that's what they were saying about Walmart, right?
Yeah. Yesterday, Walmart. June 1st, Yahoo Finance had an article which talked about Walmart CFO was quoted as saying that shoppers are buying less than 10 gallons of gas at a time. Like when they go to fill up their gas tank, they're not really filling it up. They buy what they can, and it's less than 10 gallons of gas at a time.
Well, they have to make a decision. Do I fill up the car? Or do I get some groceries?
That's right.
Electric's going up. I mean.
That's right. So the K-shaped economy is actually boosting Walmart's market share by driving inflation-weary lower-income shoppers to hunt for value, while also attracting affluent households seeking cheaper alternatives to premium grocers.
And we've talked about that a few times.
Yep. That's right. But, I mean, we've talked about it, and lo and behold,
it's still happening.
Reported again yesterday.
Yep.
Right?
June 1st.
So the K-shaped economy is alive and well, unfortunately.
A tale of two customers.
A tale of two customers.
Currently shopping at Walmart.
Real world stress indicators. That's exactly right. So I was, you know, I was really looking for, I was looking for some better news.
Well, so people are shopping more expensive things at Ralph Lauren.
yeah, that's better news. That's right. I saw a note come across, probably because I'm a Pennsylvania resident.
I think most people listening to this are.
That consumes electricity.
Well, we do have the Amish, so I can't say that's all Pennsylvania. Well,
no, but I'm not Amish. Right. Yeah, so. But I'm a Pennsylvania resident. I use electricity at my home and in my business. So the Pennsylvania Public Utility Commission reported, or on the website, you can go right out to the Public Utility Commission website and see that effective June 1st, which again was yesterday, June 1st, just announcing to customers that the cost of electricity is going, guess which direction?
Down.
No. Oh, come on.
The
weekly trivia. You just failed the weekly trivia, right? No, the cost of electricity is going up. Now, among the major Pennsylvania...
Does it ever go down? Isn't it always just up?
I've never seen a spot where electricity goes down. The largest increase, was Pike County Light and Power. I've never heard of that company.
Probably out in Pike County.
Have you heard of that company? No. Pike County Light and Power had an increase of 19.8%.
Almost
20%.
So if you're paying $100, now it's going to be $120.
Now it's going to be $120.
Wow.
Among the major Pennsylvania utilities, apparently Pike County Light and Power is not a major utility, right? But still, somebody's buying power from that source.
Mm-hmm.
UGI Electric, 12.5% up. Penelec, 11.8%. West Penn Power, 10.3%. This is an increase in the cost of electricity. I mean, we know that artificial intelligence and, you know, data centers and everything are putting a demand, an enormous demand on the system. Well, this is the way it works, right? I mean, let us never forget supply and demand is a principle that doesn't go away. And when you demand a lot of stuff, like we demand a lot of data, we all like to hop on our devices and get the information right away, plug in our GPSs. I mean, so we're all demanding this energy, and it's putting an enormous amount of stress on the grid. And so electric companies went to the regulators and said, hey, you know what? We've got to have an increase. So West Penn Power, 10.3% up. MetEd.
That's who I have.
MetEd?
Yeah.
7.6. So if you were paying $100 before, now it's,
107.
PP&L saw one of the smallest increases.
That's who I used to have.
At 1.5%. So, you know, it's time probably to go shopping, right?
And that's your right, too. A lot of folks don't know that. You are able to shop around for different electrical rates. You can't choose who delivers it to you, but you can still kind of lower your price in other
ways. That's right. So the Pennsylvania Public Utility Commission, if you go to their website, you will find, I think, links to be able to shop your electricity around and see if that helps. So I thought that was a big deal.
Kind of is, and that's something that all of our listeners are paying for, and it's going to impact them.
And it's going to impact them.
All right. So well, we're out of time here in our week in review. We're
trying to find more joyous news for next week.
Well, let's look for that on this break. You're listening to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio.
And really today we want to kind of debrief.
Yeah, we're coming off a couple good weeks with John.
A couple good weeks with John Sider from Mennonite Economic Development Associates. And I think if there's really only one thing you take away from even these 3 weeks, really, and that is that business really can have a lasting community impact. It literally can change communities and change the world.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Change lives locally. Overseas.
That's right.
We share these stories every week.
We do. That's right.
And but it was good hearing them right from John.
That's right. But there's nothing quite like seeing it directly in action.
Nope.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you go to www.meda.org. You can see all of these incredible stories, and you can sign up for their newsletter, and it's a great, great story. So, but we spent some time with John, and we just want to, you know, take today to reflect on that conversation. I think, really, as I think back on that story, though, the whole place that really got started, again, was back in 1953, which is a lot of years. I mean, that predates me, even. When were you born, Joe?
1946.
Oh, 46, so... You had them beat by a couple of years.
A couple of years, that's all.
That's right. But so these people got together and realized that charity was often just a temporary fix.
Right.
And
they had skills, they had knowledge, they had experience.
Mm-hmm. And but they thought that if they would plant an ecosystem, or an economic ecosystem, I suppose, that would somehow have a more lasting impact, a more of a ripple impact, if you will, than just making charitable contributions.
Right. They're looking for generational solutions.
That's right.
And making a big change.
Yeah. And, you know, we've talked about this, too. I don't remember the episode where we said that we talked about the impact of someone planting a seed and how that seed can grow into an enormous tree over the course of a very long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And really the lesson here, I think, the lesson that we encounter in the Mita story is that a single disciplined financial decision made today can outlive the person who made it, and it really becomes like an economic version of that tree.
Wow. Yes.
Right?
So like planting the seed?
That's exactly right.
And letting that plan grow.
In practical terms, planting that seed. So that was one of my big takeaways, anyway, from that story. And there's a shift in perspective then in terms of business and how business is conducted. And
yeah, I would say my big takeaway was, like you said, they're not just giving out charity. They're not just mm-hmm. handing out money, band-aiding an issue. Like I mentioned earlier, these were businessmen who were good at making money.
Mm-hmm.
They were good at building businesses and
right.
growing. And they thought, what if we can give this sort of, like you said, economic ecosystem
mm-hmm.
to these different places in need?
That's
and instead
right.
of just handing them money, hoping for the best,
mm-hmm.
and not really fixing the root issue,
mm-hmm.
they can use their skills, experience, and their know-how to help them set up their own business and their own plan in their area.
That's right. It's the classic feed someone a fish and you feed them for a day,
mm-hmm.
teach someone to fish and you feed them for a lifetime.
That's right.
It's all that in classic. But it's a shift. It's a shift in perspective from, hey, I've got this business and I've got this skill set in running a business, and the whole point of running a business is to accumulate as much as I can.
Trying to grow.
But it's a shift from that to, hey, how can I use this skill set to run a business, really to bless my community?
Right.
Right.
And that becomes, is a big perspective shift.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It's an enormous, it's maybe subtle, right? But significant. And so that stewardship is not merely about holding on to wealth, but about deliberately deploying those resources, the time, the talent, and the treasure in a way that then creates lasting impact, often across generations and multiple regions,
mm-hmm.
right, around the world.
Oh, absolutely.
So I think that's one of my big takeaways from the Mita story as well.
Yeah, but well, why would you say, you know, just your thoughts, why do we naturally focus so much on, you know, that accumulation factor rather than the community and, you know, and folks' financial planning? Is it like fear, worry, you know?
Yeah, so I think there's a number of reasons. It's a normal human tendency, right, to feel like we need to take care of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And our family, right?
And our family, ourselves and our family.
Protective.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there's even, you know, biblical basis for, you know, taking care of widows and orphans among you and so on. And I heard someone say one time, well, there's nothing like taking care of your own widow, even though she may not be a widow yet.
Mm.
Right.
Well, yeah.
She could be at some point. And if you plan properly, then you'll be taking care of her as your own widow. And so there's that, really. And I think there's some biblical basis for that. But then it really does, again, we've talked before about how much is enough, you know, and when you start getting into that accumulation mode, it really becomes so easy to just keep going down that road.
Right.
And all the feelings that go along with it. And so that may not be a perfect answer, you know, to your question, but
no,
I think
but it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And really, you know, we talk about the so cultivate and wait, right? But what does it mean in our modern culture, in our world, that demands immediate results?
Yeah, that's what a interesting question too, because again, following along the seed growing into a tree, right? And what Mita is doing and growing a small business that grows and grows and eventually becomes a larger business that changes an entire region and is multi-generational. This is the epitome of sowing, cultivating, and waiting. Mm. It's the epitome of that. But it really is kind of counter to the world that we live in. It's counter to the culture that we live in, right? Where the culture around us says, you know, you got to produce now.
Yeah. It's a new iPhone coming out.
That's right. That's right.
Everyone needs it.
You know, get on ChatGPT. You'll become more productive now. Do it now. Monetize now. Maximize your investment. Get
leverage.
It.
Leverage yourself.
That's right.
You
get
hear
it.
That a lot.
Get it now. Mm-hmm. Grow now. Become visible now, right? All of the above.
Now.
Succeed now. and that's that's really what we hear all around us, and it's really ingrained into us from little on up. But nearly everything that has meaningful value in life still grows slowly.
Yes. I've heard this before. I'm sure a lot of folks have, but nothing in life comes easy.
No.
You know, things that it's worth waiting for.
It really is.
Anything with quick gratification does not fulfill the soul.
Yeah. Proverbs 25:15 tells us that, you know, it's only half the verse, but by forbearance, a ruler is persuaded. Forbearance is patient, hanging in there, sticking with it, right? Discipline, working at things. And when things grow slowly, I mean, think about it. When things grow slowly, there is a lot more of likelihood that you wind up building character.
Oh, for sure.
Right.
And learning lessons along that road.
That's right. Wisdom. Mm-hmm. Right. Knowledge, of course, is there. Understanding is what, you know, you understand the knowledge, but
and
wisdom.
Relationships.
That's right. Yeah. Trust, right? Marriages. Mm-hmm. These are long children. Businesses. I think we said that already, but more. Ministries.
Yes. Right, they don't happen overnight.
No, do not happen overnight.
We all know that.
That's right. Leadership, people take time to get used to and really follow that particular leader. There are things you can't
have to build
just
rapport.
Do now. Mm-hmm. That's right. Spiritual maturity and generational impact. So the biblical rhythm is really different. It's not all about now. It's about cultivate. Wait and then harvest, and again, that was one of my takeaways from Mita.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what they're doing.
That's such a good point.
Yeah,
I can't wait to get back into it. But we're about out of time in this segment. It's time for us to switch gears.
It's time for PA trivia. PA trivia.
It's time for my favorite part of the show, our weekly trivia.
Yay.
Pennsylvania Weekly Trivia.
That's right. And we might start spreading that out. Maybe some national trivia. We'll see how it goes.
We'll have to get Pennsylvania for the year.
Oof.
Okay.
We're starting to scrape the barrel now. All right. So last week's puzzle was, although Pennsylvania does not have an oceanic shoreline, it does, however, have over 140 miles of which great lake? And Joe got that. The answer is Lake Erie.
Lake Erie.
Good job, Joe.
Yes, and I was there. Have you been to Lake Erie before?
I have.
Yes. I have. Mm-hmm. That's
it
right.
It is big.
It's big. It is the real deal. That's right. Well, this week, which Pennsylvania high school became the first high school in the United States to offer a driver's education program starting in 1958? Which Pennsylvania high school became the first high school in the United States to offer a driver's education program starting in 1958?
You wouldn't know that when driving home on 83 from work.
That's right, yeah. But if you think you know the answer, Send your answer to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com, and we'll read the answer on the podcast next week.
Stay tuned. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Holy Family Radio is your Catholic voice in central Pennsylvania, but as a listener-supported radio station, we need your help, not only during our annual pledge drives and speaker series, but throughout the year. Please prayerfully consider a donation of any amount to AM 720. Giving is easy. Visit our website, 720whyf.com, and click the donate page and follow the instructions. And thank you for whatever you can give to Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio.
And we are reflecting on our conversation with John Sider from Mennonite Economic Development Associates, right, over the last couple of weeks.
Two good episodes. Glad to have him back.
Yeah. Oh, it was so good to have him back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. John's a great guy, and I love the mission that MITA represents.
Mm-hmm.
But we were talking in the last segment about how business impacts communities and I was just thinking. And I know, Eric, you and I had been talking about how
stole that from you.
An average entrepreneur, how can an average entrepreneur view their business as a ministry rather than just a source of personal income?
Right. Because other folks feel this conviction as well. They're just not really sure where to start.
They're just not sure, where to quite go with it. But really, I mean, the average entrepreneur, let's say that, you know, you're a plumber or an electrician or a real estate agent or an auto mechanic, whatever. I mean, you're still an
entrepreneur. You're a business owner.
That's right.
And you have a business plan.
And you have a business plan, and you get up every day and you go do your work because you have to earn a paycheck.
That's right.
So how can that average entrepreneur view their business as a ministry and not just a source of personal income? Well, a few thoughts really came to mind, and I know you had a few other things for this segment, so we'll see
let's see where the good Lord takes us.
That's right. If we get to that, or if we get kind of hung up on this topic, I was reading, you know, the book of Proverbs is laid out so interestingly, right? There's 31 chapters. And there is one chapter for every day of the month. Mm-hmm. A couple months, it doesn't work out so well.
Or leap year.
February, yeah.
February. then it's like, doggone it, you got three extra chapters. What are you going to do with that?
Right? Double up.
That's right. But if you ever forget where you're at, you know, in like your reading or whatever, you can always just look at the calendar, see what day of the month it is, and go read that chapter.
Hey, and you know what else is the basis? The good Lord gave us the Ten Commandments.
Well, he did. That's right.
Okay? If you follow those 10 rules,
uh-huh.
Okay, how can you not live a good Christian life?
How can you not live? That's right. And you could read that through three times in a month.
Mm-hmm.
One commandment for every day of the month. Or every, whatever.
Every couple of days.
Just go every couple of days. That's exactly right.
And the
right.
principles are just so good.
Yeah.
And I've heard people debate, like atheists and theologians, and it's like, if you, like you said, Joe, follow those Ten Commandments and the word of the Bible, even if it's not real, right? Let's just take their side of the argument. You're still living such a better life.
That's
and
right.
loving your neighbors and living that Christ-like.
Yeah.
So how do you do that in your business?
So how do you do that in your business? Yes, I was finding a way to kind of bring that back in, right?
You know, I'll help you land this plane.
But that's right. So Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. A word fitly spoken. So there you are. You know, you're a plumber, you're an electrician, you're a real estate agent, you are a doctor, a dentist, whatever. You know, you've got a small business. And what do? I mean, throughout the course of the day, you talk to people, right? And that means there are opportunities that you have to say the right word at the right time to somebody.
That's right.
A word fitly spoken. So, you know, someone, maybe it's a contractor that you work alongside of. Maybe it's a coworker somewhere.
Or an employee of yours.
An employee, that's right, is exhausted, discouraged, ready to quit. And a few sincere words just kind of become the thing that that person needs to just kind of hang in there and keep going, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is an opportunity that your business can be a ministry and not just a source of personal income. You are negotiating a contract, right? I mean, those conversations get really tense, don't they?
Yeah.
Right? Because you usually
like zero sum negotiations.
That's exactly right. You know, usually people on both sides, they're only 100 cents in a dollar, right?
Yeah.
And everybody wants that extra one. And
a piece of one, even at times.
A piece of one, yeah, a fractional penny, that's right. And so the right word in the right spirit at the right time, you know, wisdom helps us to understand what to say and when to say it and how to say it. And wow, the way we conduct ourselves, not just with our colleagues, our employers,
our clients,
but even like with our vendors, mm-hmm. right? The people who provide service to us.
Our regulators, even.
Yes.
As tough as they can be.
But you're right. Yeah.
You still have to speak fitly.
That's right. And so a word fitly spoken can really make a difference in somebody's life somehow, some way. And
because you never know what they're going through.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
You never know. So how we do business, right, is almost as important as what we do.
Mm-hmm. What we do with our money when we make it.
That's exactly right.
There's different angles here we got to look at.
That's right, yeah.
It's not just about the dollar bill in the hand.
That's right. And it often is the same words, right? The same words that anybody might say, but a different delivery.
Mm.
And now suddenly the way the word is delivered winds up healing somebody and creating some reconciliation instead of just, you know, bludgeoning our way through.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
That's right. Sometimes, well, you know, the hardest thing sometimes is the wisdom to know when to say it and when not to say it. Sometimes the best word is one you keep to yourself.
If you don't have nothing nice to say,
that's right.
Don't say anything at all.
That's right.
Pray on it first.
Pray on it first. That's right. what's that saying? You know, the wisdom to know the difference. Lord, help me to understand the things.
The serenity prayer.
That's right.
The serenity prayer. Yeah.
That's right. And so, you know, maybe emotions are too high for the truth to be heard or whatever. But so a word fitly spoken,
mm-hmm.
and then delivered with discernment, so high. So this is what people are all about, right? And I think the Bible values then, again, how we do business, not just what we do, the fact that we're in business, but how we do business and the way that impacts the people around us.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just ran out of outline.
No, I don't. We've got so much outline here, it's not even funny.
That's right.
And there's so many things to take away from the conversation with mm-hmm. John. And I think really what we want to share with our listeners today is, how do we incorporate that into your lives, right?
That's right.
Into your business, into your family planning. What does it mean for you to sow and grow your seed?
That's right.
And what steps can you take today that will outlive you
mm-hmm.
and make a lasting impact?
That's right. Yeah, those businessmen back in the 50s, they had a plan.
Sure.
They were running their businesses successfully, which is what made them able.
And a testimony to it is that we're talking about it today, and how successful it is.
That's right. That's right. And everyone that followed after them similarly had business plans and business models, which...
But they were aligned values. That's right. Values wise.
And that's what gave them the ability to share that little bit of extra, right? Mm-hmm. To share some of the margin with somebody else. If they hadn't been doing that, that would have never, ever, ever happened. Mm-hmm. So the interesting thing, too, is that, you know, something inside of these people's hearts was driving the fact that they then reached out and created these sustainable economic ecosystems at other places. And whatever was going on in their heart was really then...
Yeah, I wonder if they were they did they give a few charities and got burned, or did
I don't know.
See, just go up in flames, their money go up in smoke.
That's
I really
part of
wonder
the story.
What was the motivating factor on that.
Yeah, but I would say that spiritually there was a reflection of God's character in that.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yep.
And that's where again, you know, God's character really starts being infused in the practical action steps that we take when we're, again, running our businesses, making business plans, you know, negotiating contracts and so on and so forth.
Yes.
So, all right. Well, let's, as you said, yes, shift from like this big picture stuff over mm-hmm. here and kind of bring it down to...
Because that's META, right? We're talking META. About stuff going on around the world. We're changing regions, big business, a bunch of thought leaders coming together.
Mm-hmm.
But let's bring it down here to Central Pennsylvania.
That's right, yeah. Because I would argue that, you know, in the 50s, those folks did not know that, what, 70 years later...
We'd be talking about them on the radio.
We'd be talking about them on the radio. They didn't know that. They did not know that. They were just sitting and looking at making a decision.
And God touched their heart.
And he did. That's right. And that's where you and I find ourselves, right, every single day of every single week, just sitting at our kitchen table, making a decision, mulling over what God's been putting in our heart. So who knows? Maybe 70 years. We'll be talking about you on the radio.
Yeah.
I won't be, but somebody might be.
But the decisions you make today for your business and for your family can mm-hmm. certainly make that lasting impact.
Can certainly make that lasting impact.
And maybe you're not going to be famous, talked about on a radio, but you can make the difference in your life and in a way that really touches your heart.
That's right. That's right. Now, I mean, I'm going to get really, really practical here.
Sure.
And we'll unpack this, you know, in our final segment. But... this even comes all the way down to something so mundane as like your life insurance.
Yeah, it really does.
Oh, James, you're not going to sit here and talk about life insurance. Well, yes, actually we are.
Because your life insurance, that's a plan.
That is a plan.
That is a part of your plan.
It is a financial instrument that most people never equate to anything when it comes to impacting the world around them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we should. I think we should spend some time talking about how that works and some of the dynamics that go on there.
Yeah, and honestly, I can't think of a better topic, good for you to pick it, that makes a lasting impact when you're gone.
When you're gone.
Like a trust, life insurance, things like that.
Right.
Really make a big difference.
Yeah, it really, really does.
All right, well, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll unpack that a little bit more. But you're listening to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio.
And boy, we went around the mulberry bush.
Yes.
That's right. We're reflecting on our conversation with John Sider. From META. And what those were the last two episodes, right? It was episode 104
and 105.
105, right? So if you've not listened to episode 104 and 105, just on the Holy Family Radio's website, you can scroll back to those previous podcasts, and you can go to our website too, wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com, and scroll down the homepage until you come to the listen to podcasts section, and scroll back through. That'll take you out to Spotify. And I just feel like we're so accomplished. You know, we're on Spotify.
I mean, and it's not like anyone can do it.
It's not like anyone can.
It's a little thing, James. A little thing.
It's a little thing.
Actually, that's anyone can do it. But
small things make me happy.
We're happy to be able to connect with folks.
That's right, yeah. So anyway, but the point is, you know, if you haven't listened to those two episodes, go listen to episode 105. And a great, great conversation we had there with John Sider from Mennonite Economic Development Associates.
And if you really like him, then you should be excited, because we'll have him back in a future one.
That's right. We will. That's right. So, but now we've been reflecting on that, and we're talking about the impact of financial things that we do.
Yes.
And everything we do really has an impact, but especially one of the things that...
I mean, all of the decisions, like you say. I mean, you can even magnify that and go the extreme and say you're putting all your money on black and spinning the wheel.
That's right.
There's a big impact from one financial decision. Now, not all of our decisions have that big of an impact, per se, but having a plan in place is so important.
That's right. That's right. But one of those things that we just don't think about very much in terms of the impact. We love to hate it, and we hate to love it.
What's that?
I didn't practice that before.
Doesn't
I said
sound
it
like
right.
You did.
No. Well, life insurance.
Oh,
right?
Yes, that's where we left off. Yep.
We might be saying, well, what in the world does that have to do with anything, right?
And somebody told me once, a client said, Eric, why do I care about that? I'm not getting the money.
That's right, yeah. Well, you do. I mean, you have to care about other people. The fact that they will get money when you're gone.
Or not just the fact that they're getting money, but if they weren't getting it, how? Just play it out in your head. How would that impact you? Right?
How would it impact you? Or
I mean, your family.
Yeah.
Like your family. Yeah. Not you, but it would be so devastating.
Yeah, your family, your business partners. I mean, usually that's where people think about their life insurance. How does it impact my family? How does it impact my business partners?
And especially if you're like the breadwinner, let's say you have a few kids and they're not quite in the realm or tier level that you're in, and you're making really, really good money, when you pass, that family income stream is basically getting shut off.
Yeah, that's right. But that not only impacts your family and your business, let's say you bought a life insurance policy, you ask yourself the question, who all is benefiting economically from what I do during life? So long as I'm living, who is benefiting?
That's a good question.
And would those people benefit, or how are those people going to hurt?
Right, that out in your mind.
When
my
support goes away. Now, if you're doing what we've been talking about here so far, and that is, you know, your business, you arrive at a spot where your business is basically a ministry, or not just going to work and having a job, but your business is actually having an impact like that. Or maybe you've built charitable planning into your wealth management plan, your financial plan. You've built charitable giving into that. And
which we hope
that's right. And these charities are receiving money from you, and their business model is making a difference. Let's even say, like, maybe you're supporting MITA, and some of that money goes in directions where it's helping to develop businesses around the globe and everything. So your gifting is producing economic value to those charities and those other businesses around the globe.
And sharing God's love.
And sharing God's love, right. So
it's hard to put a value on that
that's
on a piece of paper.
That's exactly right. But the point is...
Doesn't spreadsheet out too well.
That's right. But the point is that now suddenly you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. Gone. And what a beautiful way to continue the legacy of what you've started while you're living than having a contract that you spend a few dollars for over the course of your lifetime, and it produces a significantly higher economic benefit to those agencies, those organizations, you're gone.
I was just about to say that, because what if you are touched in your heart, you are supporting a cause, you are continually giving,
mm-hmm.
making good income, but then you pass, your support is going to stop for that organization.
Immediately.
So by setting, not just for your family, your
That's
kids,
right.
but you can continue to support those organizations that you feel really called to by having a policy that pays them the benefits.
Right. Or by having a policy that, say, that pays, you know, this lump sum of money comes and it plops into something mm-hmm. that would be maybe a trust
yep.
of some kind that is designed to just pay.
In perpetuity,
yep. on and on, sending money, a foundation, an endowment.
Talk about making a lasting impact while you're gone.
That's exactly right.
They're still getting checks years down the road, and they're like, what's going on?
That's right.
Mr. Smith's been passed.
that's exactly right. And so, you know, from that standpoint, this contract that we call life insurance really can be viewed as financial infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, infrastructure is the kind of thing that it is, it's there. We depend on it. We lean on it. It's often,
just like businesses do, just like Meta
mm-hmm.
does.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Buildings are infrastructure, right? Railroad tracks are infrastructure. These are pavement on roads. This is not beautiful stuff. It's not bright and shiny, but people use it all the time and it holds things together. So much depends on infrastructure, and properly structured, right? Then a life insurance contract can become financial infrastructure
mm-hmm.
on which so many other things lean and derive benefit from, again, especially when you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
So
but
life,
what about like preservation, right? Like mm-hmm. preserving continuity. What are some different scenarios where that infrastructure you're talking about is essential?
Oh, where it's essential.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, well, first I would say that, I mean, we're talking about charities, right? Depending to the degree that the charity, let's say you're a major donor.
Uh-huh.
To a charity. And, you know, the 80-20 rule is so
right.
there. I would.
Not just in sales.
That's right. Yeah. I would venture to guess that probably 80 to 90% of the financial support in the church you attend
uh-huh.
is offered up by about 10 or 20% of all the people.
I'd even go farther and say so is the volunteering support.
And so is that, yeah,
the
so
people
is the volunteering.
Who do their time, yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
It's the same faces
that's
that
exactly
you see
right.
there.
Yeah. But let's say that, again, you are a regular contributor to your church, and now you're gone. All of a sudden, your financial support goes away.
Ugh.
And, I mean, so when you ask, where are there places that are immediately impacted that life insurance solves a problem, right? That's one area that we just don't think about. So church support, ministry support, charity support. Well, of course, families.
Families,
that's right.
Your business? Are you a business owner?
Are you a business?
How is that transition going to look like
mm-hmm.
now that you, the subject matter expert, has passed?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So without...
Do you have partners?
Yeah. And you can, you know, the thing is you can have a plan for what's going to happen in that scenario when you're gone, but how's it going to be funded?
Yeah.
How are you going to fund it? Where's
mm-hmm.
the money going to come from? And so planning for that makes an enormous, has an enormous, in fact, impact. Many businesses die during
mm-hmm.
the transition from one owner to another because there simply is not a well-funded or thought-out plan.
Or that was the thought master.
That's exactly
the
right.
Family's going through too much you know, dealing with the loss.
That's right.
There's a lot of factors there.
Yeah. So employees lose their jobs. Families lose their primary source of income.
And what about for members of the family that might not be a part of the business? What if you got five kids and only one or two have equity in that business? You know, how do you make that fair, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, life insurance can be used to equalize, right, inheritances like that. And but the point really is that that liquidity becomes available at the exact time that it is needed.
Yeah.
The exact time.
That's right.
That it's needed. And if it's structured properly, it becomes available without taxes.
I was going to say, we haven't even got into the whole taxation,
yeah,
the whole probate process.
That's a whole different conversation. We need to have Mary Jo Mullen back on the podcast.
Shout out to Mary Jo.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And see if we can spend some time with her talking about those topics. But again, the reason we're, you know, the reason we're bringing up life insurance at the tail end of our reflection on our conversation with John Sider from MITA is because what MITA does is all about economic impact, and life insurance, of course, has significant economic impact too.
Mm-hmm.
When it's viewed through this lens, life insurance stops being merely a financial product and it becomes part of a broader philosophy.
That's right.
Right. Enabling the future, preserving dignity, and planting trees whose shade you may never personally sit under.
That's right.
That's right.
What a way to end it on that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to have John back sometime in the future and hear some more of those great stories. But thank you all for listening this week. You've been listening to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.